This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It's a Monday, and we continue to stream live on every single Monday of every show we've ever done on ESPN's app. SiriusXM 371, that's where you can find us on satellite radio, terrestrial radio. There is a bunch of them. Free parking involved on that. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. I'm Mark Packer. That dude right over there be Wes Durham. We got Robert. We got Otto in the Christmas room. The boys are good to go. Chester had a bath this weekend, so he's looking extra fluffy. And Meg's happy about that. Subway's on board. We got everybody covered, as there is 1,000 things to talk about on this Monday morning.
So you're saying you had a good weekend?
Weekend was good. You know, survived it. I mean, that's the deal. Some good, some bad with ACC football.
Some ugly.
Yeah. We're going to address it all. We're always transparent on this. We're going to tell you the truth.
Right.
Baseball team hadn't lost in a week. That's good news for me.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, life's all right. Mrs. P's still putting up with my shenanigans, and down the road we go.
Yeah. So you like my finish the other night?
Oh, your finish. Was it your finish?
No, it wasn't my finish.
Goodness gracious.
Unbelievable.
Huh? Unbelievable. Seriously, I've watched it 12 times.
I know.
Going, what are we doing here?
It's crazy, right?
Well, the only thing I can think of is when that play happened at midnight.
Right.
I was thinking, boy, accounting sure is going to be fun Tuesday, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Accounting is going to be crazy. Yeah. Counting is going to be crazy because between NC State and whatever that was, right, Saturday night in Stark Vegas, and then the end of Florida State, I'm like, yay. It had a chance to be a great day for the league. It had a chance because Virginia really looked
I said
good.
All 14 would win.
Yeah, that was
12
right.
did. Right?
I think 11.
11. Dang.
Man. But it started off pretty good because Who's look. I mean, the Who's, we're going to talk about the Who's a lot this week.
Yes, because Saturday night, right here on ACC Network, you get Virginia, North Carolina, one of the South's oldest football rivalries.
Big game, boys and girls.
Brennan Armstrong throws for 5 TDs and 403 yards.
Yeah, he had a 175 in the first quarter. I thought Virginia was going to win by 70 at the way they got
Jelani Woods
up.
Is a problem.
He's a problem.
He's going to be a problem for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, we had Pittsburgh fall behind early.
Spotted them 10, and
but
then
here's the
did
thing.
Their deal.
Pittsburgh showed you exactly, in my opinion, why you think Pittsburgh might be good this year. They played the way you'd want them to play. Kenny Pickett showed out on a stage. I mean, right before the game started, I heard Dusty Dvorak and Tom Luginbill both say on the broadcast, here's an opportunity for Kenny Pickett to kind of raise his game to a national perspective. I thought he played great. I thought Kenny Pickett, his toughness, his veteran leadership, all the things that he's acquired in 38 starts showed on Saturday.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to address everybody today on
right.
the show. All right.
Sure.
Again, there's some good, the bad, the ugly, a combination of everything. But the day had a chance to get off to a great start, and it did. It just kind of fluttered at night. When the sun went down, it just went sideways.
Yeah, Miami had to scramble.
We're going
to
get in all
right,
of it.
I know.
But, you know, college football after 2 weeks just goes to show you, people who worry about polls, you should not. The AP poll is irrelevant, even though I'm sure we're going to talk about 4 ACC teams being in it. The first poll and the only poll that matters comes out in November, right? College Football Playoff Committee.
Correct.
And the good thing about that is everybody gets a chance to watch a couple months of football before you determine who you think's good, who's got a chance,
right,
who's a struggle.
Correct.
There were some folks on, quite frankly, not ACC Network, but ESPN, that buried Clemson last week because they lost a game to a really good Georgia team by a touchdown.
That's right.
And buried them. So the dynasty's over.
Neither team had an offensive touchdown.
Got no chance of being in the playoff. I mean, just absolutely right. ridiculous conversation. We ripped them last week, and you know who you are. And it's the same old carnival barkers that you normally hear. Now you see Ohio State. This is why I kept saying you can't judge after 1 week. The beautiful thing about college football is it's week to week. There are great storylines every single week in this sport. And anybody making stupid judgments like that, because a hot take, a monkey can give you a hot take. Seriously, a monkey can give you a hot take. you got to enjoy it because it changes weekly.
Right.
So I'm expecting, just out of consistency and credibility, that everybody that was barking that nonsense last week about Clemson, hey, I guess it holds true for Ohio State. They're out. The dynasty's over. Not only did they lose, they were a 2-touchdown favorite at home and got smoked. So right. Are we going to bury Ohio State? No, you don't bury Ohio State. You don't bury Clemson either. These are great teams, man. They got a chance to run the table. But you can't worry about the college football playoffs. What you worry about is, hey, what's everybody look like after week two?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen, 13 teams in the rankings get an L already?
Well, you see the graph at the bottom. It's the most through 2 weeks since the poll's history started, 1936. And here's the thing I thought of yesterday morning. This is, and we talked on the phone yesterday, a half hour or something yesterday morning? This is exactly what Dave Clawson, who, by the way, will join us at 8:30. This is what Dave Clawson said this was going to be.
Right.
It's going to be a great year for college football. Well, a great year for college football includes this. Wild and woolly. Stuff happening. Things going crazy. Now, are we seeing stunning plays, upsets, things like that? Absolutely. We're also seeing really good football. Now, is it perfect? No. But we're getting competitive, crazy college football. And why are we getting it? I'll go back to his core about the most experienced rosters college football's ever seen. You've got probably, I don't know for sure, but I've got to believe you got a couple dozen teams that have 100 or more scholarship players, just based on the way the math works in the last couple of years. So now all of a sudden, here's all this stuff happening, and you can't get bent out of shape the second week in September that your team lost a game. Now, if you think your team has a realistic chance to go to the college football playoff, you got to avoid a second loss. Okay?
Right. If you lose two, you're through.
Then you're done.
That's it.
Okay? But the idea that we've got competitive football, and by the way, let me say this. It's so good to have some degree of normal back with the environment we're watching college football. Okay? Compared to a year ago, when you had nobody or very few people in a stadium, no enthusiasm, no environment, no bands, no nothing. The other night in Tallahassee at halftime, we watched the Jacksonville State and the Florida State bands do a halftime show together. There were 700 people on the field at one time playing a musical instrument. It's crazy. It was great. We had a wonderful environment. Was the game wild and crazy at the end and incredibly disappointing to Florida State? Yes. But we had an environment. They had a great environment in Columbus the other day.
Oh, awesome.
Sensational game.
It's great.
I mean, we're getting the environments. I mean,
College game day in Iowa was awesome.
Yeah.
Back and forth. And Ashton Kutcher and,
right.
and Corso going back and forth. That's what we love about the game. But the point I'm making, big picture, with these scores and everything else.
Just don't throw anybody out after two weeks.
Well, it was I said it last week. I'll say it again. It was asinine, some of the stuff I heard on ESPN. And I'm saying as an employee. I was embarrassed, quite frankly, because, the sport deserves better. You got to have some credibility. You do. I hate to break the news to you. You should. Right. But the games always deliver. I say it every week. College football always delivers on Saturday. And just when you think you've got it figured out, sorry, bud, wrong answer. Here comes a curveball. And you know what? Teams like Oregon, We keep talking about this league, the ACC. How do you change the narrative? You win big games. Oregon's the perfect example, right? UCLA, perfect example, what they did to LSU.
Right.
Oregon going on the road as a 2-touchdown dog, 2 best defensive players not going to go. You find a way to win the game. Quite frankly, controlled the game. So that's how you change the narrative. And here we are in the ACC. I'm going to be completely honest with you. We know about Clemson, what they've established and so forth, despite the loss to a really talented Georgia team who may go on to win the national title, for all I know. I have no idea. But you know what? Everybody else, you're going to have opportunities. That's Pittsburgh had an opportunity Saturday. You know what they did? They spotted Tennessee 10, got all 5,000 who were actually there, fired up, ready to go, singing Rocky Top. Here's what they did. Bam. 5 sacks, Kenny Pickett, rocking and rolling, you get a W. That's how you change a narrative. NC State, you had a golden opportunity Saturday night. You know what you did? Opening kickoff. You're down 7, and you know what? Never responded, quite frankly. Looked like you had a chance to get right back in the game in the first quarter. It didn't. Those are the opportunities that this league has to take advantage of. Virginia, bright and early on brunch time Saturday morning. Hey, you're taking on Illinois of the other alliance, Big Ten?
Slapped them.
Beat them up right from the get-go. I mean, that was just that was not even a competitive
right
game.
Right in the street.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, you know, you want to change the narrative in this league, you got to win the games that matter. Yep. It's simple as that.
And we got a handful more coming up this week. Some are in the league. We got two league games that are really frosty now. We've already talked about Virginia, Carolina. We got 0-2 Florida State at 2-0 Wake Forest.
If you rewind the clock 2 months, we were going through schedules.
I know.
I circled September 18th for the Swiss.
You talked to Riley Skinner about
Florida State. I did. Yeah. And, you know, same thing with Pitt at Tennessee, same thing with NC State, Mississippi State.
Yep.
Those are games that kind of set the tone for what you could possibly do. If you're going to jumpstart and have a 10-win season and make some noise, those are games you got to win. So for Florida State, we'll get into it. I mean, the ending of that game, Wes, I mean, we could spend 3 hours on this game.
Yes, we could.
You were there with the call. We'll get into all that stuff. But again, kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly for the league over the weekend.
All right, let's jump to the AP real quick here, because Clemson is still in the top 10. The Tigers are number 6 yesterday. You see Virginia Tech. Oh, here come the Hokies, right? Headed to Morgantown, 15th in the country. Justin Fuente's team did exactly what they needed to do against Middle Tennessee State. Blue Raiders show up at Lane Stadium, and look at there. They run the rock. They play a little defense. I mean, that's there you go, Virginia Tech. That's what we're talking about. Get the win over Carolina 8 days later. Do exactly what you're supposed to do to set up the ride to Morgantown on Saturday at high noon.
How about a
biggest jumper four spots, by the way.
Right. How about a shout out though to both schools? You know why? Because this series was so intense for everybody, fans, players, administrators. They all agreed we just need to take some time away. We need to go. We need to date others. That's what these two. I love you, but you know what? I really need to see someone else. And now they're getting back together.
That's right.
And I love it. To me, these are the kind of games as fans you love.
That's it.
And West by God, Virginia, they don't care for the Hokies, and it's reciprocated. And this is an important game. This is much like we just talked about with Pitt and NC State. This is one of those opportunity games here for Virginia Tech where you say, guess what? We're 15th?
Yep.
We're going to go validate it. But you got to do it on the road. And believe me, those folks in Morgantown can't wait to see you. It's going to be great.
Sam Howell had a great night Saturday night. Carolina's still got a few things to work on under the hood with Virginia calling on Saturday night here on ACC Network. Tar Heels are 21st. And we mentioned Miami. Okay, guys, it gets real Saturday noon because here comes Michigan State. Big bullying Michigan State is coming to South Florida. They'll be at Miami Gardens with the Deacon transfer, Kenneth Walker III, at noon.
Important game for the Canes. Really important game. Same thing. The narrative games. These are games you have to win. You got to win.
Yeah. All right. 844-SAY-ACCN. The chaos of college football. It's taken exactly 2 weeks to get into it.
You should not be surprised. And for folks who are still predicting what's going to happen in January, you know what? Just chill out. Yeah. We'll get to it.
Dave Clawson at 8:30. Georgia Tech's Kyrick McGowan, he of the two touchdown catches against Kennesaw on Saturday, headed to Clemson this week. He will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. And we have the nominees for WRU.
Bunch of them.
Cobbled up and ready to go. Plus, best and worst of the weekend. And, unfortunately, we got some injuries we got to be concerned about, especially at one place, and we will touch on that. But when we come back, we will get into the good of college football. Packer and Durham's Monday. All rolled up and ready to go, kids. We're back in a minute on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Presented by the good folks at Subway, which sounds pretty good right about now, 7:17 in the morning.
Roddy Jones and I got down on some Subway this weekend.
Is that
in
right?
Tallahassee.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with Subway.
No, late night, little Subway.
How about morning, 7:17? I'm going for one right now. Now I'm going to get that seafood thing you order. I'm not getting that.
I didn't get the seafood thing.
Well, you should.
Because I know that you would be upset if I did.
Yeah, that's not good. Let's talk about some good things from the weekend.
I want to start at Rocky Top. I want to start with Pittsburgh. And here's why I want to start with Pittsburgh, because I thought Pittsburgh gave you what we expected, okay? We expected Kenny Pickett to be the leader of the Panthers. We expected. Now, here's the thing. They didn't start great.
No.
But when you don't start great, you got to find out a little bit more about your team. And you know what we found out? We found out they are who we think they are. They've got that toughness edge. They got that physicality. They reflect the passion of the coach, right? And look, they got a talent. They got a number three in Jordan Addison who will go get the rock. They got a defense that will make plays. And here's the thing. I don't know what kind of year Tennessee's going to have. I don't care, to be honest with you. All I knew is I wanted to see if Pittsburgh had it under the hood, because you know why? We've asked this question before, and we haven't seen it. We saw it Saturday in Knoxville.
Well, they spotted Tennessee 10 right out of the gate.
But we've seen them fall behind, not make a move.
No, I get that. Okay. But you're on the road in a game that, hey, it's a Johnny Majors classic. And you go three and out, punt gets blocked, Tennessee first to go at the 2-1 play touch, and all of a sudden, I know there was at 20,000 empty seats there, but still, 80,000, that joint rocks. And they were fired up. It's 10-0, and Milton is throwing it. He's throwing like 20-yard outs, 90 yards up in the upper deck. I mean, Milton couldn't throw it in the ocean. And then Hendon Hooker comes in. Remember him from Virginia Tech fame?
Right.
Who actually gave Tennessee a little nudge. But I thought Pittsburgh handled all of that. They took a shot and said, okay, cool, our turn. And they punched back and really kind of controlled it. And Tennessee played catch-up all day. So if you're Pittsburgh, again, circle the calendar, September 11th, the game you knew was showing up. You had to be there. You had to win the game. They did.
Yep.
Kenny Pickett gives them great leadership. They can run. They can throw. And I saw a stat that under Pat Narduzzi, I think when Pitt has five or more sacks, they're 17-1. Well, they had five on Saturday, and that was a W. And I think if you're a Pitt fan, you take it. Hey, you're 2-0. Life is good. You had a cupcake to open up. You won a good, nice road game. You feel good about life. You go about your business. Everybody talking about North Carolina and Miami. Throw Virginia in there.
Just
you better throw Pittsburgh.
Going.
Better throw Pittsburgh in that mix too, boys yep. and girls. Just saying. That was a really big momentum win for the Panthers.
Panthers get Western Michigan on Saturday at Heinz Field. It's a game you ought to win. Move on.
That's it.
Get your season going.
That's it.
Taysir Mack has been just a guy at times for the Panthers in their receiving game, right? Jordan Addison's the star. They've got other guys, Tipton, so on and forth. Jalen Barton, they feel good about. They've got about a half dozen guys, including Lucas Kroll, the tight end, who made some big catches the other day. But Taysir Mack showed up, 100-yard game. Look, I think that's a valuable piece. They ran it better than they did in week one. Did they run it to the way they want to run it? Absolutely not. But they ran it with Vincent Davis. They used Izzy Abanikanda in there. They got some progress built in the ground game. Defensively, though, Pack, I know we talked about Jones and Weaver not being there. They showed you guys to make plays, though, didn't they?
No, five sacks. Enough said. And they put Tennessee in a mode where, hey, guess what? We get to pin our ears back and come after the quarterback. And they love doing that. They love to do that.
Yeah.
So Pitt's still unbeaten against Tennessee. They've seen him three times, never lost to him. Tennessee will return the trip next year as the Johnny Majors Classic Part 2 comes to Pittsburgh in 22.
All right, Virginia.
Love the Hoos.
Now, full disclosure, we weren't talking a lot about the Cavaliers in July and August.
No. And we mentioned that Bronco probably loved it.
Right.
Loved it. Kind of like what NC State was sitting there and North Carolina getting all the love and the hype. Virginia's sitting there going, yeah, you guys keep talking about Miami and Carolina
right.
and everybody. We'll just keep and building
Virginia
and doing
Tech
our thing.
And whatever.
You got it.
Yeah.
I think they are completely comfortable with everybody else getting the attention. And I'm not a gambler, and that line was like 10 or something Saturday.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that seems like a lot of points. Man, you watch Virginia right out of the gate. And for Bronco, and even his team talked about the slow start against Wayman Mary, even though that was they skunked him. Man, out of the gate, Virginia was flying.
Are these
high.
People open?
Well, I mean, hey, listen, they could have been up 28-0. They missed some chip shot field goals and everything, threw a couple touchdowns. And like I said, Armstrong threw for about $175 in the first quarter, at least. And Virginia was really impressive.
All right.
I'm telling you. It sets the scene for their road trip to Chapel Hill this weekend.
Brennan Armstrong becomes the second player in Virginia history with 400-plus passing yards and five TDs in a game. joining Kurt Benkert, who did it against the Fighting Dick Enbergs of Central Michigan years ago in 2016. Here's the thing. Armstrong, look, you can look around the league. You'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who's played better than Brennan Armstrong his first 2 weeks.
You know, we might have some fun with this, but after 2 weeks, if we had to rank – we kept talking about this league from a quarterback perspective, right, how good it is. If we were going to rank the top five quarterbacks in the ACC
first
based
2 weeks?
On 2 weeks, that might be an interesting list. That could be almost like accounting. But
really?
Let me tell you something.
We don't take enough heat?
Oh, yeah, I don't care about that. But Brennan Armstrong, if he wouldn't be in your top three, you're not watching football. Brennan Armstrong's balling. And by the way, I think the thing that's been cool, too, with what Broncos done, you watch what they've done offensively after 2 weeks. I guarantee you Mac Brown and their staff are watching tape going, holy mackerel, look at all the different offensive options this team has. They had five guys throw a pass. Five dudes threw a pass.
Oh, it's like trick shots.
And they've got weapons all over the place. And Armstrong's playing smart. Virginia's defense has looked really good the first 2 weeks. It really does set up a monster game with North Carolina and Virginia this week.
Can we roll this clip of video back, the Virginia highlights from the other day? Because I want to point something out here real quick to what Mark just said. When you watch this video, okay, that's Billy Kemp, okay? Here's another guy. See, we're getting more people. Look at this. Same guy caught that one. All right, here's Jelani Woods. That's a problem right there, Pack. That is 6'8", 6'7".
Tight end.
He's not tight end.
He can run, dude.
He's a problem.
No, he's a nightmare.
His position is problem. I'm excited about the Cavaliers. 42.5 points, 550 yards, plus 71 point differential through two games.
Here, though, becomes the question on which we asked 100 times this summer, if we asked it once. Can you take it on the road?
I did 2 years ago.
Well, they've beaten North Carolina, what, four times in a row, if I'm not mistaken? You know, that's the million-dollar question for Virginia, and you're going to get that answer Saturday in Chapel Hill. And for North Carolina, you already got one conference loss. You can't afford two.
Another one.
Nope. And Virginia's rolling in there playing with a ton of confidence. This is a fun game coming up Saturday.
Let me say this, too. The Alliance game of the week, this one was part one of two here. The Cavaliers laid the wood in this one.
They look
good.
Laid
the wood.
Who's look good?
Bert Bielema and the Illini were no match.
You got a problem with Bielema. Bielema is a
great
dude.
Bielema. I love Bielema.
I think he's great.
Bielema and my man Gary Dolphin are buddies. So I love Coach. He's a good dude. We've been able to catch up a little bit. So, all right, we got Miami hanging on to get Appalachian State. And
it was a W. Wes, it was a W. At the end of the day, Miami, it was a win. But we warned everybody that this could be
sneaky
one of those
Appalachian
games. Keep an eye on that game and it exactly what it was. So things to work on if you're the Canes, you better believe it's everybody's got stuff to work on. But I think at the end of the night, you won the game. You found a way to win. You drive it down late, kick the field goal, take the lead, and then your defense went out and tried to say, guess what, Chase Bryce, you're not going to beat us.
Yeah.
But, you know, a kickoff return was given up. We had some shaky special teams in some of these games. But at the end of the night, you win the ball game. And there were some drops on this last drive. This was the last drive where App State was trying to get in the field goal position and did not happen. Miami's defense steps up, makes a play, gets off the field, wins the ball game. More drops. The object, though, is to win the game, Wes. That's what Miami did. They had to win this game. You could not have a hangover from Alabama, but, man, it was a struggle, and we figured it would be.
Yep.
And that's exactly what it turned out to be.
All right, so Miami a winner, Virginia a winner, Pitt a winner. That's the good. When we come back,
there was some bad.
Yeah. Don't forget, we got a busy college football Saturday for you right here on ACC Network and on the ESPN app, Pack. High noon start at the Dome. The Great Danes of Albany visit Syracuse, presented by Subway. Then at 4 o'clock, Roddy Jones, LaRisha Harris, and I will be where?
Wallace Wade Outdoor for the Jim Phillips Classic.
The Jim Phillips Classic. Nice. Northwestern and Duke. Well, wait till they get a hold of that at Grandover. And then in primetime, the South's oldest rivalry, ACC Primetime Football, presented by Geico, Virginia, and 21st-ranked North Carolina. Right here all day Saturday, ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, one tap. When we come back, oh my goodness.
Oh. Tackle the man with the ball.
We'll be right back. Packer and Durham's Monday next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Here's Cooper. Four-man rush for Florida State. Going to cut it loose. Phil Yaw Johnson caught it. Inside the 10, Phil Yaw Johnson on his feet. He'll cut back. And Jacksonville State has won at the horn.
I got to tell you, Saturday night watching that.
Were you dialed in at the end?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Thanks.
No, I watched the Pac-12. I mean, I'm a 2 a.m.er. I mean, I wake up, as you all know.
Cheers, kids.
Early. I come right down here and I watch the shots of game day.
Right.
On the studio. And Saturday is the busiest day of the week for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it. I couldn't believe it. I sat there in total stunned silence, just like I'm sure Doak was. Like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
I mean, you couldn't believe it.
Right.
I mean, my facial expression were much like those cheerleaders. They're walking around going, huh, what? What just happened? That's got to be a W.
It's
got to be a W. I'm sorry.
I'm going to save most of the analysis for Roddy Jones's visit later this week because there's something about the play that he can describe based on the previous play. Small sample size of that conversation, though, is it's eerily similar to the same play they ran the play before.
Well, you just can't lose.
Where Zarek Cooper had one-on-one coverage with Phil Yaw Johnson and threw it to the other side. This time he threw it to the side where Phil Yaw Johnson was with two guys.
Tackle the man with the ball, Wes. What are we doing? I mean, I'm not a coach. So for me to criticize any coach is almost comical.
Right.
But that, you just cannot lose that game. Sorry.
I don't disagree with that. But there's a lot of self-destruction that occurs before the final play. The penalties. The miscues. I mean, I could go back to the opening drive of the game where Mackenzie Milton drops it in a bucket and Keyshawn Hilton doesn't hold on to it.
Got it.
It's a touchdown. There's another. I mean, look at this throw. Look at that. And Mike Norvell, to his credit, and I know a lot of people don't want to give him credit right now for what happened the other night, but Friday in the meetings with our television crew, Mike Norvell said specifically, hey, you know what? And Roddy said this on the air. We got into it on the air. Mike Norvell said, hey, look, you know what we've had since Sunday? We've had a lot of, hey, y'all played a great game, da-da-da. A lot of the, you know, the happy, man, it was fun, sure was, da-da-da. He goes, but we did not win the game. And in order to move this forward, we have to be able to overcome all the emotional momentum and all the emotional attaboys and get to winning the game.
Well, he's right with all that part. But you know what? I loved what I saw from Florida State against Notre Dame.
Right.
Right. And then you figured there's going to be a little bit of a letdown. Number one, tough loss, right? Short right. week.
Yep.
Weather wasn't great. You had the weather delays and all that stuff that was
Yeah, the weather was like a pop-up popcorn shower that rained heavy and then they
But
played.
The point of it is it's Jacksonville State. No disrespect to Jacksonville State. But, I mean, you expect a natural letdown.
Sure.
Right? So you figured, I always figured at least, all right, it might be slow early, but you
Corbin
know.
Ran for 100 yards. I mean, they did the things you need to do to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's 17-7 in the fourth quarter right here. You're still thinking, hey, you know what? It wasn't a great effort by Florida State, but you're in control of the game.
Yeah.
Right? You're in control of the game. And then just to let this thing get away, I mean, the third and one, you could just, it's third and one, despite all the stuff, it's third and one. You're 1 yard away, first down, game's over, take three knees, you're 1-1, and let's get to Switzerland. Couldn't convert, third
right.
and one. And then all that happens. This was a killer loss. This was a killer.
Now, let me give you two sides of this, because I got a lot of conversation yesterday, like, you know, I was asked in Atlanta about, you know, what's it like being there watching the end of this? I mean, you got cheerleaders.
That's what I felt like on the couch.
Yeah.
You're just in total, you can't believe what just happened.
Correct.
Man. Oh, God.
So, first of all, Jacksonville State, top 15, top 10 at times, top 5 at times, FCS program. So, it's not like you lost to Bug Tussle or Navy preflight. Still.
Come on.
Shouldn't lose the game.
No.
Okay? The thing that is probably a concerning piece of this is it's a details game now. It's not a bigger picture thing. It's a details thing. You mentioned 3rd and 1. You get Jayshon Corbin for 100 yards. Mackenzie Milton, Jordan Travis, that conversation now is just going to amplify up again. Okay? Milton threw catchable balls, made plays, things like that. Can't have the penalties pack. Cannot have all those penalties, man. Just doesn't work that way. Or else you find yourself in a situation where you give a team hope. And to John Gross's credit, the coach at Jacksonville State, they had that sliver of hope left to make a play.
Wes, the ball's on the 41-yard line.
I just said they had a sliver of hope. I understand.
Not even a slither. It's like you cannot lose the game. You can't lose it.
I don't disagree with you.
Sorry.
I don't disagree. And it's a crushing loss. And look, after the game, Mike Norvell talked about losing the game.
I apologize to our fan base, to our university, to all Seminoles for the performance that we had. But take ownership of it. You go and you work. You correct the things that have to be corrected to play to the level that we're capable of playing. All right, this team has talent. This team, they have heart. They truly do believe in what we can accomplish, but we have to go execute it. It can't just be something that we talk about in the moment. We've got to stay focused on those details, on the discipline, on being able to go out there and just execute to the level that we're capable of. But we're going to continue to work. And that's all that I know. That's all that I've ever been around. I've been a part of very challenging times before within programs. And tonight is a challenging time for our university and our football team for what we just did. And we will get it corrected.
Let's hope so. By the way, there's a stat that I saw from the smart folks up in Bristol today, which I had not seen this stat. Until this morning.
Okay.
Going into Saturday, Power 5 schools were 661-1. Let me give you those numbers again. 661 wins and one loss when leading by 10 points or more in the fourth quarter against FCS schools. The one, you might ask, all right, who's the one? Doggone if it wasn't Jacksonville State. They beat Ole Miss. Back in 2010.
They almost beat Auburn, too, by the way.
They had Auburn on the ropes. So Jacksonville State's done it to a number of...
Again,
right? But that's since 2004, right? Since 2004, 661 and Jacksonville State. And that happened Saturday night. So, Mike Norvell is right. Yeah, you got to go back to work. That's why they're paying you.
Mm-hmm.
Wake Forest awaits.
We'll get into that game this week.
I will circle it again. Even before what happened Saturday night, how important that game was going to be, even with a W for Florida State.
Right.
Now, you got to figure, we're going to have Dave Clawson on next hour. You got to figure if Florida State has any ounce of, hey, I'm PO'd, they will be smoking hot rolling in to Switzerland coming in this week.
That's it.
It's another big test for the Noles and for Wake Forest.
There you go. Florida State had company. Saturday night.
They sure did.
And they had company in Starkville, America. NC State fell behind on the opening play of the game. A kick return for a touchdown.
Well, we saw App State run one back against Miami, and everybody's getting fired up. Cowbells in the air. You figured you knew that was coming. Opening kick, and 102 yards later, it's 7-0. And cowbells are going bonkers in Stark Vegas.
They needed was a reason, right?
Well, again, gosh, we emphasize this like nobody's business all summer. There are games that you have the opportunity to change the narrative. For NC State, how important was this game? You know how important it was. You were on the doorstep of the infamous AP Top 25.
Yep.
And you know what happened? You lost. And guess what? Poll came out. You know how many votes NC State had yesterday? Zero. That's called perception. Mm-hmm. Now, I think NC State's still a really good team.
I do too.
I don't think they played worth a you-know-what Saturday night. And, you know, after the opening kick, quite frankly, defense had three straight three and outs. You did everything you were supposed to do. You moved the ball.
Yep.
You missed a field goal. And then you had some kind of crazy play, jump pass looking something I'd come up with. And really, NC State would just never clicked. And I give them, hey, Mississippi State, you tip your hat. You can't convince me that Mississippi State's a better team than NC State. Can't convince it. But you know what? Thing called scoreboard. And that's the most important stat of them all.
Well, and the other part about this is the one thing I thought you could do in this game, you couldn't do. I was banking on NC State's ability to run the ball.
32 yards.
And to find out that at the end of the night, the combination of Person and Bam Knight, 50 yards on 16 carries? I mean, I was counting on this part right here. In fact, at the halftime of the Florida State game, I was looking at the score trying to sort it out, and I saw the running numbers, and I went, that can't be right.
Well, you know what? This wasn't South Florida you're playing this week.
I get it. I get it, but I still thought this offense and kind of that whole concept had moved forward enough they were going to be able to run the ball on this crowd. Now, here's the issue facing the Wolfpack is you're going to have to turn around and get this thing cranked up now.
Now, the good news is there's a thing called Furman.
Well, they got Furman, but then you and I both know what happens after that.
Yeah, there's a team called Clemson. By the way, they played pretty good defense last time I checked.
All right. So, anyway, NC State's challenge now is to get it back sorted out inside the house.
Just, it was such a – I can't emphasize enough the golden opportunity. I mean, that was like – we just talked about Pitt and Tennessee. There are games on your schedule – that, you know, when you beat up on South Florida and you beat up on Furman,
right.
Yeah, okay, great, whatever. But there are games that you play outside your comfort zone. This was a road trip.
Yeah.
We've talked about NC State's inability to beat the SEC this century. Right now, I've lost 9 of 10 to the Southeastern Conference. And I just thought the matchup was a good one for the Pack. And, you know, they're down 24-3, Wes, in the fourth quarter. You're like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
So, tough night. I mean, it was a bad night. No way to spin it. So NC State's got to get back to work like Florida State and everybody else. But that was not what the doctor ordered from the ACC. There's no question.
Let's go to Central New York. 0-0 at the half. Syracuse and Rutgers were setting the stage for old Eastern football, weren't they?
Or Wake Forest, Virginia Tech.
Why do you want to do that?
Well, because that's the last time I remember 0-0 going in the third quarter.
Well, another Alliance game of the week ends up being a 10-point loss for the Orange. And the second half, just nothing felt like it was any positive for Syracuse. It's almost like a switch got flipped, right?
Well, what's weird about Syracuse is I think of Dino Babers and I think offensive football. I do. I think scoring up and down the field, doing their thing. The last couple of years, there's just been a disconnect. Tommy DeVito, the quarterback situation, and that's still a work in progress.
Right.
Turnovers were a problem. We got Dino getting called for a flag.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
This was just an old school Northeast fistfight is what it was.
By the way, here's Coach Babers after the game on this unsportsmanlike conduct penalty against the bench that ultimately led to a Rutgers score.
I'm not quite sure what happened. I thought I saw a play, and I'm trying not to get fined. I thought I saw a play where we tackled a guy and he got pushed back. And then I asked, I was sitting there waiting, like, I saw a personal foul call being called. And I'm like, I didn't see a targeting. I'm trying to figure out how the personal foul thing got called. And when they came over and told me, they said that the back was picked up and body slammed. Now I couldn't see it, so you guys have to help me with that. And I was like, I didn't see anybody body slam anybody. And I got a personal foul penalty called against me. I know I've never had a personal foul penalty called on me as a head coach. I know I've never had one called on me as an assistant coach. And I'm pretty doggone sure I've never had one called on me as a player, and I've been playing since the 60s. So I didn't use any profanity. But I guess my English was too strong. And I'll say the exact same thing I always say. None of us is worth 15 yards in a game.
How about that?
Hey, look. It was a big call.
A huge call.
It sure was.
I mean, and it's... I mean, he wants to talk to the official. And look, there was a 15-yard foul on the personal foul against his team on the play that occurred on the field. And then they added 15 more. So the play went for, I think, 6-7 yards, right, at the time. And then behind it, you got 30 more tacked on. And I think two plays later, Syracuse is in the – I mean, Rutgers is in the end zone. And it's a conversion piece where at the end – that score now, can Syracuse come back and make the, you know, they're going to win the game? I don't know about that. But there's the play to score the touchdown. And it comes literally a snap or two after the foul. So, look, I'm disappointed for Syracuse the way the game went because there's stuff attached to it that did it make the difference in the game? We don't know that. But at the same time, first half, offensively, they were having some issues. I thought defensively they played really good against a team that's got some thump to them.
And they played well the week before defensively. You know, when you hold somebody under 180 total yards, you got to figure, hey, we got a chance to win this game.
Yep.
And I go back to, again, I think Dino Babers football. I think offense, and that seems to be an issue right now. They just cannot score.
Great Danes of Albany, high noon start here on ACC Network on Saturday for the Orange, who will try to pick up a second win of the year. When we come back, we've had the good, the bad, and the ugly. You might think, wait a second, you've covered the really ugly. Well, no, the ugly in terms of the scoreboard. This is the ugly we thought we'd get.
Pretty ugly.
Pretty ugly. Good, but ugly. Sam Howell, by the way, had his own personal run game. Clemson, they Clemsoned. Louisville, they Louisvilled. And the Jackets got Kennesaw State. All that and more coming up on Packer and Durham's Monday.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Yeah, during the break, we play a little puzzle game over here. It's all good.
Who was the big winner?
I think I won that one. I think I did.
Hey,
I'd say it was the big winner. It was Duke Friday night starting things off and blowout Central.
Hey, look here,
Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium.
Mateo Durant, 8 carries, 24 yards, 3 touches in the first half.
W. David Cutcliffe got the W. It was the start of a multiple blowouts this weekend, which I'm not surprised, quite frankly, by any of them.
No, you called all these last week.
So I thought these were some glorified
scrimmages.
Let's
start in the upstate, shall we?
Speaking of.
Yeah. South Carolina State, Buddy Pough, brought those Bulldogs in from Orangeburg.
He's a good man. They have a good band, and they got a nice check.
Buddy Pough is a nice man.
Yes, he is.
I like Buddy Pough a ton. He's done a really good job in Orangeburg. South Carolina State got beat 49-3, friends.
I will tell you what, though, Wes. 49-3, if you didn't see the game, sounds exactly what you thought it'd be. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Clemson's still got some issues to address. Offensively, they still... not sure if they're clicking. I mean, DJ's, you know, missed some shots. And, again, it's only 2 weeks. They'll get better. But I think most Clemson fans would tell you there's still something missing on the offensive side. Defensively, out of sight, terrific, elite. Offensively, still work to be done.
Off to Chapel Hill. North Carolina, 59. Georgia State, 17. Sam Howell, fifth time, 352 total offense, 104 rushing, 5 combined scores. Sam Howell, Pack, was the leading rusher for the Tar Heels. Seriously?
Yeah. How about that? There's some WRUs in this one, too, by the way.
There are. But let me add this. Why do we think that Carolina and Iowa State, you never put these two together? But I'm getting ready to put them together. Iowa State, all 5 offensive linemen back. What are they struggling to do the first 2 weeks? Against anybody. Northern Iowa, Iowa pre-flight, USS Iowa. Struggling to run the ball. North Carolina, 5 offensive linemen back. I know Javonte Williams, Michael Carter aren't walking through the door.
Ta-da, you just answered the question.
But wait, you got five offensive linemen back.
I get that, but you just lost two great, not good,
fine,
great backs.
Fine, you still ought to be able to move people in front of you. And so far through two games,
hey,
Sam Howell is an outlier compared to what Carolina might ultimately be able to do, I think.
Hey, Clemson got a bunch of offensive linemen back. They don't have Travis Etienne. You know, it matters to have talent in the backfield. Just saying. Still early. Lots of time.
I agree.
A lot of work to be done.
Through two games, small sample size. All right. Louisville, Eastern Kentucky.
The team Colonels, of mystery. Team of mystery.
The Fighting Luganbills show up from Richmond, Kentucky. They're no match. Malik Cunningham plays well. The plus three turnover margin for the home team. Folks at Cardinal Stadium go home happy. Yeah, there you go. 30-3 the final. You see the four receptions, 150 for Huggins Bruce.
Team of mystery with a golden opportunity this week. UCF.
Wow. You're already on to Saturday.
I am. That's what we just showed you is 48 hours old, man.
That's right.
I've got the coach's mentality.
Let's
celebrate
go.
Celebrate for 24, you move on.
Let's go to the corner of Techwood and Bobby Dodd. First ever meeting, Georgia Tech, Kennesaw State. The Owls without their starting quarterback. It didn't matter. The Jackets didn't have theirs either. And Jordan Yates becomes the fourth quarterback in Georgia Tech history to throw for four or more scores in a game in his first career start, joining Justin Thomas, Vad Lee, and Reggie Ball.
Well, hopefully Kennesaw State will take some of that big money they made from Georgia Tech getting new uniforms. How about that?
Same apparel deal, by the way. Kyrick McGowan, by the way, in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. We're
good W. Listen, if you're Jeff Collins, come up the week before, you take the win, and now you get ready a road trip to Death Valley.
Oof.
Good luck.
Where both teams got to get stuff fixed.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Play hard.
All right. Top of the hour. We are done with hour one. The list on best of the weekend is a lot lengthier than the worst of the weekend, and that's a good thing. But last week, I wasn't sure that was the case.
Good ones, though, this week.
Yeah, we got some good ones. So we'll get to hour two of Packer and Durham and some of your calls, 844-SAY-ACCN. Wake Forest head coach Dave Clawson, bottom of the hour, 8:30 from Winston-Salem. Early look ahead to Saturday, Florida State.
Huge game. There's some big-time conference games this week. Important. Big picture.
Carolina, Virginia. Wake, Florida State.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's some non-conference games of note, too. Miami, Michigan State, UCF, Louisville. Just saying. Clemson needs to get their act together offensively. They got Georgia Tech.
Virginia Tech, West Virginia.
No doubt. Hate fest. Week three, man. Let's go.
Northwestern Duke.
Jim Phillips Invitational. JPI. We can't call it a classic because we already came up with that one for Tennessee and Pitt.
Can't call it a classic.
Jim Phillips invitation.
Are you thinking that by like Wednesday, all of a sudden Duke and Northwestern have signed some Jim Phillips invitation?
Well, I mean,
we're the ones. Since you said Johnny Major's classic June?
Yeah, and then they stole the idea, which is fine. I got no issue with that. But we'll just call it the JPI, Jim Phillips invitation.
Okay.
Friends of Jim. Plenty of good seats still available. Wallace Wade outdoor
when
stadium.
When we come back, hour two of this program, best of the weekend, and the possibility of me having a third cup of coffee this morning. Best of the weekend. Shaka Hayward, you're in the mix. Sam Howell, the Pitt defense, Brennan Armstrong, Syracuse,
don't
Jordan
give it
Yates,
all away.
And
come on.
More.
Come on, Wes. Tease.
Packer and Durham on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network, presented by Subway.
Packer and Durham.